Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Today, many of us are making New Year's resolutions. You know the kind. This year I'm going to lose 15 pounds. Again. And again, and again, and again. Sometimes we think bigger than that. We think we'll lose 20 pounds, or 30 pounds, or 40 pounds, or 50 pounds, 100 pounds. Whatever we think we're going to lose, we say we're going to lose. This year I'm going to give up smoking, drinking, carrying on. Or this year I'm going to consider everything that I think that is comforting or self-aggrandizing as something I shouldn't spend any time with. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to look in the mirror so that I won't see myself as others see me. You know, I heard a story about two men. They were shipwrecked, and they survived the shipwreck by clinging to a rubber raft. And they were out in the middle of the ocean, just the two of them, and pretty soon their water and their food ran out. Along with that, all their hope for rescue was running out too. And suddenly they saw this big storm heading their way. They were both weak. They knew that the storm would capsize their small vessel. And one of them began to pray out loud. He said, "Lord, I know I don't deserve it. But if you will spare us, I'll give up smoking. I'll give up drinking. I'll give up chasing." His friend said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. Isn't that a ship coming our way? You don't want to claim things before God that you can't keep." That's true. We don't want to claim things we can't keep. So many times I've heard people say, "If it's God's will," and then say in the next breath, "You know, I'll pray for you." But you know what it means when I say I'll pray for you? Nothing at all. I've heard pastors say that. I've heard people make commitments to one another that they just simply don't keep. I've seen people make commitments to God that they don't keep any longer than it takes to take their seat. You have too. All of us have done similar things. But today, I want us to start fresh. God is a God of second chances. He's a God of new beginnings. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So this is a day that we begin anew, the newness of life. And that is what I want us to pray that we will see today. Not the old things that have nagged us in the past. Not all the troubles that we've gone through. That's behind us. But the road to victory that is before us. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. For this is a new day for us to praise you, a new day for us to thank you for all the good things that you have brought to our lives. We are sustained this very minute by your hand. If it weren't for your hand, we'd cease to exist. You hold us in the palms of your hand. Father, be gentle with us, and yet have your way with us. Touch us, mold us, make us into what we ought to be. Not what we think we are. Not what we've proven ourselves to be. But what you want us to be. May we take the resolution today to follow you no matter what the cost to us. Because we see things through your eyes. We hear the calls of the people through your ear. And we speak through your mouth the words of gentleness and kindness, and we touch them with your hands of healing. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to read from John, the Gospel of John, the very first verse and following. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, here we have a prologue of gospel. It's greater than anything that our minds can conceive. Many people that I have read over a period of time have tried to parch these words, have tried to look at each and every word and try to gain its significance and try to do the things that we can do. But we cannot conceive the great mystery which is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We find here a project that is worthy of giving our lives to. You know, there are many projects to which you may say, well, that's not worthy of me, I'm not doing that. It's not my calling, it's somebody else, let George do it. But these words are words of life. These words are worth giving up our lives for. Giving up our lives, however long they are, however short they are, for the potential of becoming what God has made us to be. You know, how do you begin that process? How do you take the words off the page and hold on to them tight? Well, we find these verses where we begin a journey that takes us back to God who created us. It's a journey of a lifetime. And the Word made flesh is a part of that journey. How do we get started? By having a vision of where we're going. Unless He lights the way, there is no way for us to see the way. That's the reason the psalmist says He will be a light unto our path. He will show us the way. Picture one of those rare events when you're just confounded. How did a 112-pound woman lift a 4,000-pound car off of the body of her baby? How did that happen? How did a man run a 4-minute mile or a 3-minute mile? My goodness gracious, where does he get the power to do that? Where did that power come from? Things like that stop us in our tracks because we don't have the answers. We don't know where the power came from. We don't know what kind of power it was. And the scientists tried to tell us, well, it was adrenaline, you know, stored up in this 112-pound woman that allowed her to lift. No, it was the power of love that God gave her. Make that very personal. Think for a moment of something that has confronted you. Some burden that has been on your shoulders that you have not cast yet onto Jesus. You've been trying to carry it for a long time on your own, and it's just wearing you down. Some challenge you face, like cancer, or heart disease, or old age, or some crippling arthritis, or hearing imperfections, or something that is dragging you down. What would you do had you the power to overcome those things? You do have the power. You have not, for you ask not. That's what the Bible teaches. Or we ask not aright. But God's message is one of love, of overcoming faith. John uses for the vision that of a person becoming a child of God. Now think about that for a moment. You're being born of the Spirit to those who receive Jesus Christ. You're being born of the Spirit. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is in you. He is the hope of glory. He is the power. He has told us that we can do all things. Some people want that power, but they don't want a whole lot of it. They just want a paper bag full of Jesus. That's all they want. Just give me the fast food version. Just let me have that. Let me have just the part that gives me the power, but not the part that makes me obedient. Not the part that makes me subservient. Not that part. No, I don't want that. I just want the part that makes me strong. That's wrong. Many of us do not receive Jesus because we just can't take more than a paper bag full of Him. And He wants us body, mind, and spirit. He wants a total commitment from us. Oh, there were people who did not receive Him. It says here in the text that He came into the world and the world did not receive Him. We know that. We know that there are many people who are resistant to Jesus today, who will not receive Him, who will not receive the power to become who we're supposed to be. But the key is to receive the power from the power source. Now, receive is a difficult word because we think of it as a passive thing. We receive these things and we receive that, and But just because you receive an email or a letter in the mail doesn't mean that you're going to act on it or that you're even going to read it. I don't read all the emails that I get. I delete them. What about you? Are you a passive receiver? Are you an active receiver? The word John uses is a word in Greek, lambago, which means you're going to be actively receiving. Let me, in the middle of football season, give you a football analogy. The receiver runs a route, and he runs that route out into the field of play. He doesn't run off the field of play, because if he does, he can't receive the ball. He stays in the field of play. Each of us must stay within God's will. If we don't, we're not going to catch the ball. He runs that route, and the passer looks at him, and he trusts that man because of his skill, because of his talent, because of his strength, because of his speed. And he knows that that man's going to turn and come to him if he's in trouble. He knows that that man knows enough about football to turn from his desired route to come back if necessary. And he, once the ball is thrown, will do everything he can to catch the ball, with people draped all over him, with them pulling their shirts, whatever is going on. He will use everything that is within him to make the catch. Because if he doesn't make the catch, it's an incompleted pass. Nothing has happened. It's over. Now, let's take you and I. Jesus is throwing us a pass, and that pass has all the power, all the glory, everything that is His within it. He says, these things I do. I heal the sick. You can heal the sick. I cast out demons. You can cast out demons. I do all these things. All these things that I do, you will do, and greater, if I go to be with my Father. So He's passing us the ball. We're not catching the ball. We're not giving everything our whole strength, our whole life, our whole heart. We're not doing that. We're waiting for a little bit of a softy to come our way. You threw the ball too hard. We're such pansies, it makes me sick. Every time they show college students today on college campuses, I get kind of weird. Safe place for me was a place that I secured myself, not a place that was secured for me. I'm not a baby. I'm a student. We're acting like children. We want everything done for us. We don't want to do anything for God. That's the problem. We don't want to receive the word lambano into our hearts because we don't want it. We reject that word. We don't want to do that. That requires activity on our part. That means that we're not going to just passively catch the ball. You know something? If you don't catch the ball when I throw it, I'm going to stop throwing you the ball. If you drop the ball and you're open, I'm going to stop even looking at you. I'm going to look at the other people who will give the effort and their talent and their strength and throw them the ball. That's why we don't have it. We don't have the power to become what God has preordained that we should be, victors. We're more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens us. That is what it means. That's what John is saying to this group. He's saying, listen, he has given the right to become children of God. The right to become children of God. The active receiving of Jesus turns our vision into reality. Suddenly, we are identifying Jesus as the Christ by name and in person. We feel Him in our lives. We welcome Him into our lives. We take in His presence. It bothers me when presidential candidates tell me that they smoked marijuana but they didn't inhale. What good did that do to anybody? We have to take in, breathe in the power. And welcome Him into our lives. Jesus speaks to His new creatures this way. He tells us that these things that I do, you will do in greater. you will do these things. You will do greater than these things, meaning more of these things. You will do more than these things. You will cast out demons. Everything you want will be in your control. Everything. That's the reason I'm going to tell you that when two of you agree upon anything as concerning this world, it shall be done. When you say mountain, and that mountain can come in all kinds of shapes. It can look like cancer. It can look like heart disease. It can look like a loss that you suffered. It can look like a barrier to you in so many ways. When you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will obey you. That's the truth. That means that you have to do the Father's will, not your own. You have the power within you to achieve God's goals for your life, not your goals. I've seen a lot of television preachers stand up and heal people and do this and do that and do that. They're doing it for their self-aggrandizement. They're not doing it for God. If they were doing it for God, they would be doing it all the time. They would do it when the cameras were not rolling, not just when they were rolling. You do things for God because God wants it done. You have to know what God wants. God wants you to use His power to achieve His goals for your life. So, nothing will be impossible for you in the year 2017. Nothing will be impossible for you if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's really that simple. If you receive Jesus Christ, not as a passive thing, but with a broken and contrite heart, you come to Christ, and He therefore comes to you. The Scriptures tell us that if we draw near to Christ, He will draw near to us. There is something that is required of us to do. We have to act it out. We have to begin to do it. And if we don't do it, then we will not have it. It means that you are to do the Father's will. So when you are going to face this new year, you do it with a smile on your face. Because greater is He who is in you than he who's in this world. You look past the framework of this world. You know, I could have said to my wife and my children, well, I'm going to die at the same age my father died. He died of a heart attack in my arms at 47. I had a heart attack at 47. It was his fifth heart attack. It was my first. But I could have said, okay, I'm going to give up. I'm just not going to carry through. I'm not going to believe God. You know, I've got a bone spur in my heel, and it makes me want to limp. And the man next door, pastor next door, he asked me one day, he said, how's that going? Because I knew he had been praying for me when he asked that. I said, well, I don't feel it anymore. I put pads in my shoes like one of my good parishioners told me to do. After a while, that pain has gone away. I told him, I said, anytime that pain comes back, I just say, get behind me, Satan. That made him very happy. We have the power within us, if we receive it, and we receive it aright, we receive it aright for God's purpose, not for our own. Therefore, nothing will be impossible for you if you are in Christ, because His children, the children of God, cannot be taken out of His hand. So face the new year. knowing that you're more than a conqueror through Christ that strengthens you. That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, because the Bible says that. Not because you suddenly grown a lot of muscles, but because God, in His wisdom, has given these things to you for His purpose. Nothing can take you from His hand. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That doesn't matter what happens to my body. Well, I can tell you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I will have life eternal. Even death can't keep me in the ground. That we must hold on to. You must know that there is not any longer hope because some political movement has come or gone. There is hope because Christ is here. Christ has come. Christ is here. Christ is coming again. Nothing can take you out of the Father's hand. Nothing. You're someone special to God. You know how special you are? If you had been the only one on earth, Jesus would have died on the cross for you. That's how special you are. If you never received Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, you have no divine power. You want to receive Him? You can start this new year out with a road that is hard and narrow. Or you can start this new year out with a road that is paved and all downhill. Which would you choose? Will you give God everything He desires from you so that He can therefore send you, and you receive it with everything that is within you, the power to do His will on earth. Not yours, but His. If you're willing to do that, then you can come down the aisle and ask Him into your broken and contrite heart. If you're not to that place yet, don't come. Because there's nothing special or magical about walking down an aisle. It is walking in the footsteps of Christ every day that He honors, that He gives power to. And He uses many of the weak and foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Therefore, He uses such as we are. And nobody here who's a multi-billionaire that I know about. There's no one here who's so full of talent that their world is waiting at the doorstep as they leave this place with flashbulbs going. And no, He uses those like us to be His disciples, His people, His children, to walk in the path that Jesus walked. We are to be like John, the witnesses of who Christ is. Not just today, but for this coming year and walking on into eternity. Each of us should be the receiver of the power to become new creatures, children of God, through faith in Jesus Christ.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the Internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.